G'day, Mud.
Hey, Mud.
Thanks for tuning into the Best of Boozer. This weekly podcast is proudly brought to you by the bloody great Kiwis at MyRepublic.
That's right. Even if you're listening to this courtesy of another provider, they won't hold it against you. How's that for knowing no limits?
KFC presents Boozer.
A lot of people writing about relationships as well, advice, etc., etc.
Anything in particular?
Breakup advice.
Oh, right.
Don't do it in a car.
Yeah.
Can't get rid of them.
Break up. Okay. I'm trying to think of some of my breakups, how they came about.
I broke up with a girl in a bus stop once. That was not good.
Did you know her before you got to the bus stop?
Yes, she was my first kind of serious relationship, and lovely girl.
Was that a predetermined decision, or did you happen to end up in the bus stop?
No, it was predetermined. And for some reason, we ended up in a bus stop.
It wasn't when you were a bus driver, was it? You'd end up quite a few.
I was actually waiting to get into the bus to drive it, but I just sort of took the bull by the horns because I was so upset about doing it. I thought, I've just got to get this done. And she was really upset, and it was in the middle of a crowd, and it wasn't good.
Man. In the rain?
It was raining, actually. It was raining, and there was no cover over the bus shelter. So she was dripping wet, forlorn and broken by my callous disregard for her.
Lucky it wasn't more recently, like, in the last 6 months or something, because it'd probably be a big photo of your fat head on the bus stop as well. Or on the back of the bus as it drove off. Tune into Boosh for 6:30. It's the last thing she sees as you drive off.
Quite fitting.
That is really weird, eh? Because I've seen us on one or two buses. It's just, what's that about? Good God, really?
Yeah, when someone says you've got a face like the back of a bus, you literally do.
Yeah,
when you're on it.
Yeah, we literally do.
Yeah.
And who are you calling fathead, fathead?
I was just saying, when your head's been blown up, 68%.
Yeah, true.
Into a sticky billboard thing. My weirdest breakup was probably came about. I went to jail. I was overseas.
Yeah,
I went to prison in France, and it's when my girlfriend at the time was coming over from New Zealand to visit me.
Did she? Was it coinciding with the exact time that you went to prison?
Just the day before or something.
Disaster.
She arrived about a week earlier, and a week after she got there, I got sent to prison, and that was that. So she had to go back to London, and I got deported back to New Zealand. Eventually, we hooked up again, but it was kind of the beginning of the end, really.
I would have thought, in a strange kind of way, Lee Hart, that would have been quite a exciting thing for her to, be going out with a guy that's just gone to prison and he's...
Yeah, her parents didn't think so. I hadn't met at that point.
Well, I thought Lee was coming for dinner. Oh, no, sorry, he's in prison in France.
He'll be
here next Christmas.
I'm glad that's the direction that that story went. I thought you were going to say you broke up with your cellmate.
No, well, that's another thing too. Sex is never the same after you've been inside for a while. You come out mixed up. Everything's out of whack. That was probably the catalyst for that one. I would say.
like to go through all of your breakups, actually, and see what the catalyst for all of them were.
It hasn't been many.
Right, okay. Don't you be laughing, Matt. We'll be getting on to you shortly, mate.
Oh, no, it's not safe.
When I say there hasn't been many, I don't mean I'm still going out with half of them. I mean there hasn't been that many breakups.
Yeah, yeah. I've gone out with very few people, actually, over the years.
That doesn't surprise me.
Daily Boozer with KFC's new Double Down Banger. Double original recipe fillet, cheesy sausage and crispy onions.
Any tragic breakup stories for you, my friend?
Well,
I'd imagine you, as I've said in the past, you're a bit of a Lothario, a shagger.
My last breakup was international, so I had to go have it over Skype, unfortunately, due to geographical reasons. The scariest one might... stay at my friend's house for about 2 weeks as a safe house, but that ex is floating around New Zealand, so I can get any sweaty palms just talking about it.
Okay.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And one was in the car. It's quite awkward because they don't actually get out.
I think I've told you this before, had a similar breakup. She wasn't a psycho. She was a lovely girl, actually. But all that year... And I know you guys are going to give me massive jip about this, but I was writing poetry all year. Now listen, wait, hold.
Breakup poem.
I'd written about 500 poems that year. And I would suggest to you, and that's true, I'd suggest to you 10 of them were really good, 20 of them were pretty good, the rest were crap. But anyway, when we broke up, I came back to my flat, and every one of those poems had been, and it was on a typewriter, so there was no photocopies or anything. Every one of those poems had been ripped to shreds.
Oh, that's convenient, isn't it?
Like confetti.
So that's why we can't hear one.
Well,
I know what happened.
Hand on heart.
I know what happened.
Absolute, or not hand on you, obviously.
Out of the 500, the 400 good ones got ripped up and only the 10 crap ones were left, right?
I've got to side with her on that decision.
Listen. That is the absolute truth. Tragedy.
Surely you could recall them, though.
No, I couldn't. I couldn't recall them. You got to remember, this is early 20s. They say if you remember your early 20s, you weren't in your early 20s.
How long ago was that?
Oh, about 10 years ago.
Should we both do a poem for tomorrow? Tomorrow's show.
Yeah, but my poetry's serious.
It doesn't matter.
It freaks you out if I do a serious poem.
No, just
you
don't
just
make
get
it
all
too
angsty
long.
And emotional.
Just don't make it too long. You'll do a poem tomorrow and I'll do one. And we'll both come in, we'll both read them out.
Is your one going to be a comedy one, though?
No. Hark!
Oh, well, there you go.
What does I see? No.
What was that? Hark, what does I see?
Well, I try to write in ye olde English a little, just to get a bit of substance.
Yeah, fair enough.
We could do it. We could do it on air. We could dim the lights, get a couple of typewriters, a couple of cigarettes.
Big Poetry Wednesday.
I tell you
whiskey.
What,
next bottle of red wine.
There's something really, really nice about the old typewriter. You know, the feel of it, the pressure of it. And I actually got pretty damn good on the old typewriter. Can't type for to save my life now.
It doesn't make you a good poet, though, just being able to use a typewriter.
Daily Bouger with KFC. The Double Down is back, this time with cheesy sausage.
Now, look, a big controversy at the moment in the world of politics we often touch on. This guy, what's his name?
Tom Barclay.
Todd Barclay. Todd Barclay or McClay?
Barclay.
I wish we hadn't started the segment.
Todd Barclay.
Anyway, apparently, well, I don't know, bugging people, recording his own stuff, whatever. 25-year-old, youngest politician we have. The issue I have with the whole thing, what the heck is a dickhead being a politician at 25 anyway? What an idiot.
Yeah, it sort of reeks of ambition and...
Yeah, I wouldn't vote for someone, oh, I'm 25, I'm going to be a minister or something. Get a life first, you idiot. You know, you get some life experience. Maybe when you're 30, maybe we should make a law not allowed to become a politician until you're 30. You know?
Yeah, I don't have any problem with that. In actual fact, you know, like in the United States at the moment, of course, with Donald Trump, maybe there should be a law that you have to have some sort of public experience in terms of running public things before you can become president.
I don't mind. I mean, in the past, there would have been some great names. Perhaps they spent some time in the military service and become a 27-year-old after he's bloody was in the Civil War or something. I don't know. But 25 and I'm... everything's wrong about that. A, you don't know what the hell you're talking about because you haven't done anything yet.
Yes.
You know, work, dig a drain before you can become a minister of bloody something. It really pisses me off, actually.
Well, it's
I'm glad he's out of there because what an idiot.
New people come into the office and tell you, you know, and they're 23 and they tell you this is the way the show needs to go.
Yep.
And you go, excuse me? Excuse me?
Well, in their case, they're often quite right.
Or they are.
But it's different.
But you still say, excuse me?
But I just don't get that. It's wrong. 30 should be the age you're allowed to become a politician, a round number.
Yeah, well, in all seriousness, I think there's some merit in that, actually, because, you know, you do need to have life experience. You do need to have gone through some stuff. You do need to have worked at the coalface. You know, these people that get handed portfolios that they've got no history with.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what, because they're ambitious? Because they know
you
how
might
to talk?
You might be competent. You might be you might have good, admin skills.
Yes.
You might stay up all night. You might work hard. Doesn't mean anything. You've got no empathy for people. You don't have any life experience. You haven't experienced death. You haven't experienced life. Get the hell out of it. I'll take it a step further. I think you should need to be at least 30 before you become a Catholic priest as well. Get it out of your system.
Well, I think it takes that long to become a Catholic priest, doesn't it?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's quite a long process.
Try some other stuff first. Get it out of your system, and it may not rear its head later on.
There you go. Sound advice from Daddy Bougie.
Can we delete that last? No, it's gone, is it?
Billy Bouchard with KFC. If you're going to go down, go double down.
Do you reckon you've ever been bugged?
No, not really.
So why is it whenever we go into a hotel room, you always go and look under all the cushions and behind the curtains and under the telephone and...
I'm normally trying to find an old phone charger I left there.
Oh, right, okay.
You know how you always leave. I think I lost your mobile charger down in Hamilton last
week. Why is it always the phone charger? Because they're such finicky little bloody things. That's the first thing you leave behind. Or undies.
Yeah.
So we done
sometimes sports someone might have left some Class A drugs or something lying around. You know, it's always good to check around and in the little weird places. Oh, what's that? Better take that to the police, you know?
Is that what happens when you find it, is it? You go, oh, I better take that to the police.
I suppose you would. What else would you do? What would you do?
What would you do,
New Zealand? Text us 3483 if you found some Class A drugs in a hotel room.
We've opened a hornet's nest here. I mentioned, you know, you might be staying in a hotel or a motel situation. You give it a bit of a once-over, make sure it's not bugged,
yep,
as you do. Check that there's nothing being left behind, any old socks on the end of the bed or anything like that. And look in drawers under the bed and imagine, you know, you're surprised you found some drugs
yes, or indeed. Something. You yeah, know? Which I imagine has happened on more than one occasion.
It could be A-class, could be the grass. A bit of the grass.
Gunja.
It could be. You just don't know. So what do you do? What do you do? I mean, normally what I would probably do, I'd take it straight to the manager or down to the nearest police station and drop that in. Might have an amnesty bin or just report it. And a lot of people are saying they'd do the same. Some were saying they would have it. That's fine. Each to their own. A lot of people aren't comfortable doing that, taking it to the police station, that then perhaps they've got a record, perhaps they feel guilty, perhaps they don't feel they're going to be treated with respect. So with that in mind, I think what we'll open up here is an A-class amnesty bin here at Bouchard.
Good plan.
So if you ever find anything like that anywhere in the country, just send it here. We'll compile it together. And
send it or bring it in person?
Either or.
I don't know about sending it.
Whatever's fastest. And get it in, and what we'll do there, we'll take it. We'll process it for you.
We'll take it
to the police station because we've got a relationship with them and go, here we go, this is what's happened this week. And I think that's a good responsible way for Bouchard to be over some of the issues which we've got in this country at the moment.
Look, I'm not opposed to that at all. I think that's a great idea. Yes, man.
We could set up one of those bins, kind of like when you return your videos to the video store.
Well, maybe just the one that, you know, the same bin that returned the prizes. You know, the same channel that sends all our prizes out, people can send their narcotics into that.
I just feel like
they'll never get here.
Room for misinterpretation if people are actually sending it to us. You know what I mean? Are people sending you? Whereas opposed, if they came in and literally physically handed us the drugs, you know, there's no subterfuge.
Yeah, or maybe we need a little, like you say, Matt, a little video drop-off box. After hours kind of thing, whatever. The point here is, it's a responsible amnesty bin. It comes into Bouchard, and we can say at the end of the week, that's Friday, nothing's coming this week. Never mind. You know, the police will pop in and go, anything for us this week, guys? Nah, just this little joint. That's about it.
Half doobie.
Nothing else.
Just a couple of roaches.
Nothing else at all out there at the moment. End of the day, and I just don't tolerate that kind of stuff. And I said, you know, shove it right up your ass.
Yeah, fair enough, mate. You're never backward and going forward. I'll say that about you.
Well, in that case, I was.
Sometimes you need to just, you know, maybe back off a little bit, you know, and just think before you say those things, because we've had some issues with that in the past. Yeah. Hey, but that was The Cure, and that really does take me back, that song, to a fantastic flat I had in Parnell where the kitchen was literally falling off the house.
Is that when you found The Cure?
That's when I found The Cure. I lived in an attic above everyone else. It was a great time in my life.
You're a little bit older than me, I suppose, so it takes me back to a high school disco I went to a few years back, of course. And takes me back. I remember I wouldn't say I was passing, but I was certainly trying to.
What year was the high school disco? Year are you talking?
So long ago now, Jace.
Yeah, it was quite a long time ago.
If you can remember the early 2000s, you probably weren't there. But I don't know. It's a while ago now, and certainly takes me back.
What the disco does, or the song does?
Well, a bit of both, really.
Yeah.
You know, occasionally disco. I'll look at photos of those kind of discos and hear those tunes, and it's so much fun.
trying to get a girl to come and sit in the darkness with you while the teachers were sort of roaming around.
Girl.
Trying to get that.
No, we didn't have girls at our disco.
Oh, didn't you? It was just all boys.
Oh, yeah.
And your woodwork teacher.
I went to a Catholic school.
Yeah. So you actually had a school disco, a school social, and it was just you boys sort of dancing in your best twins.
And the woodwork teacher.
Was he a priest?
He was a priest. Well, he said he was. He said a lot of things, actually.
Did you have a live DJ or a live band? Did you dress up for it?
That was him.
Well, he was the DJ, was he?
He did everything like that.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So how many boys would there be at this particular disco? Say maybe 200 boys?
Oh, look, I'd have to consult the court records. Be honest, I can't recall now, Jace, from strict memory, but we could ask the lawyer, he would know.
In the early 2000s, you're saying this happened?
It's a blur, Jace. It's a blur.
Why was that?
I'm wanting to move on from this.
Oh, okay. No, that's fine. I was just wondering why it was a blur. Maybe that you guys, smuggled something in as you do at these things.
Oh, no.
There's a blue light disco. You'd get a bit of, vodka or a bit of rum in your drink and go in there and go.
Probably the Quaaludes.
The only person trying to smuggle something in was the woodwork teacher, be honest.
Right, okay. Bougie! It's now time for Daily Bougie Big Show Admin.
Lee present.
Jason present.
Matt present.
Okay, guys, you want to kick us off, Jason?
Yeah, sure, mate. Had lunch with Lord over the weekend.
Did you?
Yeah, she's very keen to come in on the show. She's probably going to come in today. She said she had to meet a mate for coffee, but she'll keep
Can
us.
Can I ask, before you get too involved, what did you have?
For lunch?
Yeah.
Caesar salad.
And what did she have?
She just had pita bread.
Really?
Yeah, she wasn't really that hungry.
Nothing on it?
No, just pita bread. Oh, that sort of oil and ducker.
Oh, like a hummus?
Yeah. Or ducker or bucker. So that was good. But she's going to keep us informed. She hopes to be in after 5:30.
When did you have lunch with her?
On Saturday.
Wow. I think she was on the Jimmy Fallon show on Friday night.
She came back after that.
Right.
Neva Retimanu, the great newsreader, of course, of broadcasting. I gave her a call to come in and talk to us about the ins and outs of weather and good news broadcasting. She said no, she declined because she thinks we're a travesty to broadcasting. So no,
that
Neva.
That was her words?
Yeah, that was her words. I spoke to Stacey and Flinny about a cross-station kind of initiative, kind of some crazy jape, some sort of unusual thing, but that we can all work together on. But they declined, saying that they're doing quite well at the moment and they don't want to risk that. I don't know what they mean by that.
Yeah. I don't understand why radio stations just don't do their bit. Just do your thing. I think we might be talking about this whole Edge thing. They pretended to be Tom Cruise on the phone to someone. Big deal, At least it's an original idea, I suppose. And it didn't go down well, and now they're getting a lot of lambasted in the media.
Yes.
And from public for it. On that note, I've been asked by the powers that be at the Edge, which is MediaWorks, rival station, whether we could take a couple of weeks off from here and go over and do the Edge breakfast show for a couple of weeks till things calm down. Just get some steady heads on the ship and calm things down. And just do a couple of weeks radio without lame japes. And
you mean that the Edge wants you and I to step into the breach? Is that what you're saying?
Yep. And just bring some cool heads, some heads of experience, and just do some radio which makes radio within itself, as opposed to having to, survive on social media kind of debacles. I've been talking to Mike Lane about it,
yep.
And he's going to consider giving us a time off.
So would that mean...
Maybe you as well, Matt.
Oh, is Maddie coming with us, yep. Or is Maddie going to take over the drive show here?
No, he'll be coming as our producer on the Edge.
Are we okay. going to do prank calls?
Well, that's it. I think they're reluctant for us to do those. Okay. We might try a couple, but it's never really been my thing. I mean, you used to do a lot of voices.
Yes, indeed.
You did the John Campbell thing. I'm surprised that wasn't hugely controversial.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose in that case, we were japing ourselves, weren't we?
Yeah, we were a little bit.
We were the ones the joke was on, pretending we had a guest who wasn't, in fact, there. Slight difference, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, look, I'm always keen to do radio that involves some sort of gaffer tape or something like that, or
yep.
maybe hiding somewhere and giving someone a surprise and or having a guest that doesn't exist. Imagine doing something like that, yeah. Lee.
Maybe getting a tattoo somewhere or something crazy like that, or putting post-it notes on a car.
Daily Bougie with KFC's new Double Down banger. More bangers than Early Bush.
there's this little post here on Facebook, which I'm trying to find. I'm lost. I'll try and do it by memory. About Jesus. Jesus.
Yes, indeed.
Yochami. Apparently, real historians are really starting to question whether he existed at all.
Yehu.
Yeah, there's not one reference of him in any pagan stuff at the time, any Greek myth, any Greek stuff, any writings, any Roman writings. There's absolutely nothing written about him anywhere up until about 200 or 300 years into the first century. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So it begs the question, did he even exist?
Well,
And will they be saying the same about Nickelback in, say, 1,000 years?
Can I bring this up? And I didn't bring it up before because I wasn't sure about it in terms of Yehu and Jesus. When we were in Hamilton, I was in my hotel room. Would have been about 3 o'clock in the morning, maybe. And there was just some...
Eating my cheesels.
Oh, I'd eaten your cheesels and I'd fallen asleep and I woke up, but I didn't open my eyes. There was this blue haze in the air because I could see, like, through my eyelids. And someone started talking to me about Jesus.
You'd leave the TV on.
For about an hour. It just went on. I didn't want to open my eyes and ruin the spiritual thing I was having at that moment. And, I mean, it lasted for about an hour, and then I just drifted back into sleep again. It was quite a spiritual experience.
Do you remember what they said?
Oh, just that Yehu was great and stand up, be strong.
I think that was actually after we'd been at Hush Hush, I had a blue glow stick and it sort of went all through my fingers.
I think the guy was called Benny.
We did bring a guy called Benny back.
I think there was a Yehi stripper at Hush Hush. She was wonderful.
Well, no, the guy that was talking was called Benny, I think.
Oh, right.
And I remember we had the TV on, but we couldn't get this guy on. So we just had that big blue glow from the TV. We couldn't actually get the input happening.
Were you in my room?
Yeah. Looking for my cheesels. Did Jesus say anything about cheesels in your experience?
No, just was talking about...
Or any kind of cord
this
snap.
Man couldn't walk and he's... And now look at him. He can walk. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, there's...
He didn't mention anything about cheesels.
Well, Benny couldn't walk when we brought him back there. He'd had a couple.
Right, okay.
You carried him in, didn't you?
Yeah, bloody dead weight. Yeah.
Then eventually did get up and walk.
Benny did.
Yeah, right into the ranch slider.
Oh, that would have been he's walking.
Because he heard the cheesels were out there.
Yeah. Oh, isn't that funny? I mean, if I had to open my eyes, the whole experience would have been a completely different one.
You would have seen a really bad motel party. Booyah! Yeah, so Wendy Wiseman, don't take it personally.
Oh, no.
She's just new to this sort of office environment, and she just said, you know, there's one guy in the Booyah team there. I said, what, Matt? No, not him, the other one. Keep staring at my breasts and it just makes me feel a bit uncomfortable when I'm photocopying, trying to do my job.
Yeah, well, look, you know, if that's the case, I'm sure Wendy could have come up to me and I would have been happy to, you know, take it on board and move on.
Yeah, I don't think she felt comfortable doing that.
Right, okay, so she thought she'd tell you and then you'd tell me.
Just, you know, on the side.
Well, it's not going to be awkward when I go out there now and Wendy's not going to be all weird with me, is she? Because she knows that you've told me about what she said to you.
You know, to your credit, I did sort of go into your camp a little bit and I said it would help if you put a bra on, Wendy, you know, once in a while. Would help. And maybe even a top. You know, you can't be photocopying stuff topless and not expect the odd person to cop the odd look at your breasts.
Fair enough, mate. Can I ask why you were so late today? You only turned up like 30 seconds before the start. In fact, you weren't even here at the start of the show. What was going on?
I was under a lot of pressure. I was at an auction.
Oh, right, okay.
Real estate auction, trying to purchase a building of all things.
Good Lord.
Obviously of all things.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's stressful times. Stressful
times. I tell you what, property in Auckland, it's not cheap, yeah, that's no, for sure. Not. And there's a lot of people looking for property in Auckland. Yeah. How'd you go?
You got to be in to win.
What do you do?
You just got to make a bid no matter what and everything. That's what I do. Just go for it. Just sort it out later. You just put a bid in, subject to.
Yeah. So subject to finance, subject to builder's report kind of thing.
Well, I normally just do subject to psychiatric evaluation. And that just sort of covers everything. So I can just pretty much bid on anything I want. Just keep putting my hand up. Really flush everyone.
It's compulsive,
out.
That stuff, isn't it? Yeah. You know, you just can't stop yourself. That's hand right. up, hand up, hand up.
And that way, later on when I'm in there and they're trying to tidy the deal up and I've maybe gone a little long on it and I haven't even talked to the bank yet, I've just got this mate who's my psychiatrist, and he'll just sign a thing saying he wasn't in state mind. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't of sound mind.
When to make the bid.
He doesn't even remember being at the auction.
Right, yeah, well, there you go.
Simple stuff.
But so did you bid?
Oh, shit, yeah.
Oh, right. And so you think you won?
No.
Right, okay, so you got outbid.
There's a couple of other psychos here as well.
Right. Now, Lee, of course, we were supposed to start the Edge Breakfast Show this morning.
Yeah.
Already it's turned into a bit of a debacle.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder now whether that was a prank, a crazy radio prank on us.
Yeah, maybe.
I show up there this morning trying to do the show.
Yeah, 8:30 though.
Okay, admittedly, I was maybe perhaps 2 hours late.
Yeah.
But on the first day, that was always going to happen on a breakfast show.
It takes time.
It takes a few days to acclimatise.
For sure.
Okay. They wouldn't let me through security. I said, well, come on, we're supposed to be doing the show. And they make out they didn't know anything about it. It's just some sort of stunt, they were saying. God.
Did you not get your swipey or anything? Did they? Security not let you through?
Did you get through, did you?
Yeah, sweet as, mate. And Matt was there. We hoed into the buffet breakfast. Mm. It was croissants. There was mushrooms.
So if I'd got there, we would have done the show. Is that what you're saying?
Well, pretty much, yeah. And they were going, well, where the hell's Lee Hart? And I said, well, you know, we're used to doing the drive show, of course, on Radio Hodaki. Who knows where he is?
He's probably still asleep. Jason Matthew are
here. What's that?
Jason Matthew are here.
As I say, the breakfast show normally starts half an hour before I go to bed. So it puts me right out of whack.
Yeah. Well, I've often thought, actually, if you were doing, because, you know, a lot of the breakfast show hosts get up at about 4, you know, you'd be in a situation really where you'd be thinking, why go to bed? Go and stay up all night, do the show, and then go to bed at about 9, 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, you'd be like a dolphin. You just wouldn't sleep.
Yeah.
Do they sleep?
Dolphins do sleep, I do.
They do? Okay.
I believe okay. so. Do dolphins sleep, New Zealand?
Well, they're mammals. They're mammals.
They must do.
The most intelligent mammals.
I've never seen a dolphin sleeping per se, but I'm picking that they must.
Have you ever seen a dolphin?
Yes, I have seen many to walk. With my fishing pedigree, what kind of question is that, Lee?
Yeah, good point.
Shouldn't be fishing them.
Just a small point about Wendy Wiseman and her breasts. And I hope she's not listening. I think she's left for a moment. Someone's texted in. I mean, you know, you can't blame Jace for staring at her fantastic breasts. Now, I don't want to go into detail on this. For a start, she should have a top on, okay, in the office environment. That's a health and safety thing, if nothing else. Okay? She should have a top on. And I'm surprised Mike Lane hasn't picked her up on that. And secondly, you know, I don't think she'll mind me saying this, she hasn't actually got that good of breasts.
Mm.
I mean, not that I'm a judge. I mean, what makes a good breast? They're all the same to me at the end of the day. But, you know, just to hers looks something more like out of a 1978 National Geographic magazine, you know, where you're seeing, you know, when you first saw breasts in National Geographic,
Jace? I don't actually think I saw my first breasts in the National Geographic, actually, but I know what you mean.
Yeah.
They were the most well-thumbed magazine in our school's library, which was amazing, given that it was like a nature magazine.
Well, you know the ones that are sort of hanging a little low and
yes,
they sort of tuck them into their belt?
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying with the photocopier. One of her breasts could easily be dragged into one of those rollers, you know, into the photocopy machine. And that's not the sort of mammogram you want to get from a Fuji 5000, whatever that damn thing is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think you make a fair point. And I'll let you...
I don't need to get the... what is our make of photocopy anyway?
I don't know, actually. I've never used it in my life. I've never used a computer in this place.
Mike, can I ask
you? I've never used a photocopy. Oh, God, here comes the boss.
Mike, what make of photocopy do we have?
Well, that's besides the point. It's a Ricoh.
I don't want to get the Ricoh specialist.
Yes, please.
What, like Sarah White? Are you talking about Sarah?
No, Wendy or Sarah, Wendy. But her sister doesn't seem to have the problem, but Wendy seems to...
Wendy, this is Wendy Wiseman.
Wendy.
She's only been here for a little while.
Was it too much to ask that she wears a top in the office?
Well, you
this
know,
is your department, Mike.
No, she's wearing a top, but I think you...
Apparently I'm the one she has an issue with, if you can believe that. Can you believe that, Mike Lane, that I'm the one she's got an issue with? Come on now, be honest.
She's got an issue with, actually, this whole show.
Oh.
Yeah, well.
Well, look, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. We'll finish this break. I'm going to go and have a good chat to Wendy.
Please don't.
And just square things.
No, well, please don't. No, she's gone home.
You may need someone with you when you do that. Booja!
Hey, now, we put the question out there a little bit earlier in the show. Do dolphins sleep?
Yes, we did.
We got a text back. and it said, yes, dolphins do sleep by switching off half their brain.
One hemisphere, apparently.
One hemisphere of their brain underwater. I'm not sure how that works. So the other hemisphere of the brain goes, you're underwater, but you're asleep, but you need to go up and have a breath.
Well, they're mammals like us. We don't shut half our brain off when we sleep, do we?
Yeah, but we're not underwater, though.
Oh, good point, yeah.
I wonder if it's a similar thing where it's that half of the hemisphere that tells you you need to do wees, for example, when you're in bed asleep.
Well, not always.
Well, not always, something else.
That doesn't matter if you're a dolphin, though.
But that's quite fascinating. I didn't know that they could shut off half their... But mind you, they are the most evolved species of all of us, aren't they? The old dolphin.
I've noticed since I've been doing this radio show, I've managed to shut off half my brain.
Yeah, yeah. Often. I can relate to that, actually. I quite often shut off half my brain.
Especially on a Monday or Tuesday.
I could shut off three quarters of my brain and still be doing this radio show.
And you'd still be doing a bloody good job. That's what makes you the professional you are.
Thanks.
Imagine how good the show would be if you used the rest of your brain.
Well, I know. And actually, I made a conscious decision a couple of days ago to use about another a tenth of my brain for the show. As opposed to just, you know...
How much do you reckon you're using now?
For the show?
At a percentage. No, full stop.
In general?
Yeah.
What?
20%?
At most.
And how much for the show?
13.
Yeah, it's not probably... Yeah. So if you used another 7, if you got it up to 20...
What
sort of show do you think we'll be looking at?
I'm kind of like a dolphin in the sense that I need to be in motion to think. I need to actually be moving.
That's you are kind of like a dolphin in the sense that you don't really belong in the studio.
Yeah, well, that's right. And I've got little flippers for arms, little Tyrannosaurus Rex arms. But I am like that. I need to actually be in motion to think. It's very hard for me to sit down and think. I come into the studio and I stop thinking.
Well, I know what you should do. You should take a leaf out of the America's Cup team and maybe just have a little cycle there.
Good
plan.
So
sit there, you could just be pedalling away, you know, gently and chatting while you're pedalling.
Yeah. Look, I'm not opposed to that. I got home last night after the show and I didn't stop eating from the moment I got home to the moment I went to bed, which is about 3 or 4 hours, just solid eating. And I just thought, my God, I'm turning into a massive fat blimp and it's time to change it up a bit.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So I wouldn't be opposed to having a cycle in the studio.
I notice a lot of people walking past the windows at the moment. They're going to a private function next door, I've heard.
Are they?
And they're from Spark across the road there. The very popular telecommunications company. So they're heading over there for a private function.
Are they?
Just in case you were wondering, yeah.
Well, yes, I did notice there was an unusual amount of traffic going past there.
I mentioned earlier I was talking about real estate and stuff. Often I'll go and bid with the clause and you know, subject to. So
yes.
It's rather than being subject to building or consent or subject to finance, it's subject to psychiatric evaluation.
Yeah.
On my behalf. And that always works. It means you can bid as much as you like. You can really get involved in the auction without fear of getting yourself in hot water. It actually backfired on me when we did buy a house.
Right.
A few years back. Because we got the bid. And I had that clause in there just in case, of course. But I was very happy with the deal. We got the thing. Then they had the psychiatric evaluation. They insisted on it. And turned out I wasn't actually fit. So I
psychiatrically,
yeah,
mentally,
and
yeah,
I
yeah.
wanted to buy it this time.
Yeah,
so it actually backfired on me. I had to get another doctor, another quack, to actually say that I was fit to buy it.
Right. Yeah. So it cost you a bit.
Rigmarole.
Yeah.
You know?
I reckon, you know, with that whole thing subject to, you should just put changing my mind.
Yeah.
You know,
subject to mood.
Yeah. Subject to. We'll see how the day is.
Yeah.
Speaking to Daniel Day-Lewis yesterday, Lee.
You were?
Yeah. Of course, he was just talking to me about the fact that he was thinking of retiring from acting, which he's subsequently gone on to do.
Did you mention that he might want to come on the show and discuss that?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I spoke to Daniel Day-Lewis yesterday, mostly about his retirement, but he said, listen, I've heard a lot about your show. I'd love to get on it. And I said, well, Daniel...
Well, you could have said we've got a few gaps in the schedule at the moment.
Well, what I said was, Daniel, if you're going to retire from acting, we really don't want to talk about anything else.
What the heck are we going to talk about?
Well, apparently, I don't know if you recall this, when Daniel Day-Lewis retired the first time, he became a shoemaker in Italy, like a serious shoemaker. But I said, you know, no, people don't really like talking about shoes.
We probably talk more about shoes on this show than most shows, though.
Actually, it just occurred to me when I said that.
Yeah, so actually, would have been a good guest. We could have talked about... Yes, Matt?
Yes, Matt.
I'd really want to know. He's a... What do you call it? Method actor.
Yes.
Are you a method actor?
No.
Have you tried it?
I am. I'm a bit of both.
So you stay in character?
I think that method acting is just a load of old toss. And usually you'll find the method actors are the ones that throw the tanties on the set and stuff because, you know, someone, they're getting a cup of tea in character and someone comes and stands beside them and they're like, no!
Well, it depends how far you take method acting, for example. If you're doing an action scene and you want your guns to look pretty meaty, nothing wrong with doing 20 press-ups for the scene. That's a form of method acting, surely. You're doing it. Dustin Hoffman ran around the block three times to look tired.
And without being ridiculous, talking about that, you know, when people have, like, nude scenes on stage,
yeah,
it is not uncommon for them to stimulate themselves a little bit. Not to full... excitement, but to enough to make him at an impressive impression.
I know exactly what you mean, Jace. I had to do a sex scene once, and I spent about 10 minutes out back before it just trying to make my penis a bit smaller. So I wouldn't embarrass the other actors in the scene. It was a big Caligula type.
I have had a sex scene in my life, and I was given what they call a nude G-string. You know, so you don't really notice it because it's nude. It's the colour of your skin. And it was a woman's nude G-string. So they actually had to slice it down the middle and put...
Are you talking about the G-string?
No, or the G-string. Yes, they did, but not while I was wearing it, Matt, for goodness sakes. And put a bit of elastic in it to let it stretch out a bit. And I'm not saying for a minute that I'm hung like a rogue stallion. I'm just saying it was a woman's one initially and they needed to stretch it out. And when you're making... Even when you're pretending to make love, there is a form of arousal.
Be pretty bad if it was a woman's one and they had to sort of bring it in a bit.
Yeah, yeah. Can we just tuck it in at the sides, please? It's just sort of flapping around like a tent at the moment.
Yep.
Bougie! With the weather the way it is at the moment, Lee, it's days like this that I wish we had the old bougie curry night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Get a curry in about this time of the day, be beautiful.
How about big macaroni cheese Thursday?
Macaroni cheese?
Macaroni.
Yeah. And I tell you what, you get a great many variations in terms of what makes a great macaroni cheese.
Okay, I'm going to chuck a question out there, macaroni cheese. Do you have... Okay, what do you have in your macaroni cheese?
Well, you see, this is the question. I've got daughters and they...
Forget them. What do you have in your macaroni
cheese? If I had my mac cheese, it would be macaroni and cheese with bacon, tomato, yep, and some herbs and a crusty top.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. What variations are there out there? I'm going to bring in World Wide Web Joe. Joe, how is it?
Secret ingredient for a good macaroni cheese, leeks.
See? Well, yeah, this is where... Well, okay,
hang
Matt,
on, Joe.
Matt.
Corn.
Oh, come on, Matt.
It's good.
For goodness
it's
sake.
It's good.
This is a serious radio show, Matt.
I thought the same thing and then I tried it. I'm a convert.
Leeks,
kernels of corn.
Leeks are good. Like, so you soak your macaroni in the cheese broth for about 2 hours.
What, do you not pre-cook your macaroni?
No. So you do it beforehand, and then you get your leeks just glistening, so translucent.
Sounds a little bit of a...
And then toast it up.
A little bit of a vegan-y kind of...
You top it with bacon.
I know what you're saying, Lee.
You top it with bacon.
Bok choy? I suppose you put that in there, though, do you?
No bok choy, just straight leeks.
New Zealand, text 2483. What is the perfect macaroni cheese recipe? We need to know right now. And do you have a crust on the top? Is it a tasty cheese?
Oh, you've got to have a crust on the top.
Yeah, you have to grill it.
And I guess the question you need to ask is, what kind of cheese do you use?
Oh, tasty.
You know, well, some people will like the mild, you know. And I tell you what else, I like to put a bit of a dollop of whole grain mustard
yes,
in my cheese.
You can't get go mustard.
And my cheese sauce.
Yeah, that's just going to get a bit more tang.
It's
more
nice.
For that. But Joe, World Wide Web Joe,
yes.
What's happening in the World Wide Web?
Not a lot happening in the web. I just came back from a brewery, so...
What's happening at the brewery then?
Beer.
Okay.
Jimmy, what seems to happen
in the brewery? You heard it first.
There's been nothing happening on the internet whatsoever since Joe's been at the brewery.
The new Game of Thrones trailer's out.
Yes, well, that's on the website earlier today.
I saw it on the Hodaki website.
Okay, well, he would have put that up then, went to the brewery.
Yeah.
Massively preloaded.
So what's hot to trot on the Hodaki page at the moment?
That would be, as previously mentioned, the Game of Thrones trailer.
Okay. And there's other exciting stuff there as well, of course. I think there's boat race footage, all sorts of crazy, wacky...
No, you're getting confused with the Facebook page.
Yes, on the Facebook page, there's footage of Grot Lane in a horrific boat race situation where he has a massive lead coming into the last leg, and he completely America's Cup.
I was going to say,
did he do an America's Cup where you had a hell of a lead?
He Dean Barker'd it.
Grot Lane came in and totally did the... What year was that?
2014.
Was it 2004? No, 13.
2013.
Dean Barker.
Because you're about seven glasses ahead, and they came back and pulled those right back, right on his skull.
To quote Jimmy Spittle, you're not be the greatest comeback of all time, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Thanks, Joe. Matt, we'll go to some sort of advertorial now, and we need to talk about corn in your mac and cheese. It's just...
Glad you said mac and cheese.
Yes.
Lee Hart, Jason Hoyt, Bouchard weekdays at 4 with KFC's Double Down. Back for a limited time.
Thanks for sitting through another week of Bouchard with Jason Lee.
This podcast was brought to you by our bloody great mates at MyRepublic, the internet service provider that knows no limits. And when you sign up to MyRepublic using the promo code podcast, you will get 1 month free on top of what is already a bloody great deal.
MyRepublic. Like us at times, they know no limits.